Open up your Bibles to Psalm 145. Since January, you have heard me say Exodus. But today, Psalm 145. Yesterday, I began feeling that the sermon I had prepared all week was not fit for today. The seventh commandment we were supposed to cover last week. And so God is delaying that message one more week. And so we're going to be looking at what I feel the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, has led me to. And I went to bed trusting the Lord, still not preparing another sermon. I woke up this morning and I said, "All right, Lord, let's do it." So at 7 o'clock this morning, I began writing this sermon. So I'm going to need the Lord's help today, but I need the Lord's help every day, right? God is good. Hurricane Irma. We can say a lot about the storm from last week. And we've already mentioned a few times today, and I've heard many people say this week, we have much to be thankful for. And I've heard this statement, and it is so true. And I celebrate it, and I say it myself. God has been good to us. He's been good. He's been good. I went to bed Saturday night, and the storm continued to shift more to the west. And when I went to bed Saturday night, they were calling for a direct hit on Anna Maria Island as a Category 4. And I got to admit, I was scared. I was fearful. I woke up the next morning, and the storm had shifted a little bit. And they were still saying we were going to get the brunt. Of course, the storm landed much further south than they had expected, went over land, and we were saved and spared from most of the winds and storm surge, and we praise the Lord for that. However, as we say this statement, God is good, I want us to be careful on what we mean when we say that. And I feel that I have a pastoral responsibility this morning to help us through that statement, God is good. Totally true. I think we need to be careful what our intentions are behind our words. The storm set all kinds of records. The longest lasting Category 5 in the Atlantic Ocean. I think one or two in the whole Atlantic Basin, the strongest storm recorded. But not all areas were spared. The storm wreaked havoc on the islands, the Leeward Islands. The island of Barbuda was destroyed. Uninhabitable, 90% of the buildings demolished, and right now there is nobody on the island. Nobody. So when we think about the statement, God is good, it's true not only here in Manatee County, God has been good to us. But God is good all those circumstances elsewhere do not play out like they played out here. Is God good in Barbuda? Yes. Is God good down in Marco Island and Naples and the very poor community of Immokalee? Have you ever been to Immokalee? It's just a bunch of orange groves. Migrant workers, extremely poor people. I've preached in one of the churches in Immokalee. Sweet people. they were hit hard. Can they wake up today and say with us that God has been good to them? The biblical answer to that is yes. The human answer to that varies, doesn't it? It varies. Is God only good when good things, quote unquote, happen to us? Sometimes we hear this phrase that follows, God is good, and people respond, all the time God is good. See, it's one thing to say it when we're spared the brunt of the storm. And praise God now. But what if now, because we're in the peak of hurricane season still, in 10 days from now, 2 weeks from now, a Category 5 hurricane does roar up the Gulf Coast and totally, catastrophically wipe out our entire area and change our lives forever? What if we lose our homes? What if we lose people we love? Is God still good? Yes, He is. And I feel I have a pastoral responsibility to shepherd you through that statement. Because in good times or in bad, how we would define those things does not change the goodness or the faithfulness of God. Did God only answer our prayers and not those in Cuba? Which the storm collided with and weakened before it even got to Naples. Did God not hear the prayers of those in Puerto Rico on the northern coast who felt a lot of those winds, although they were also spared from the worst side of the storm? Were some people's prayers answered? Was there really a heart over Manatee County? We need to be careful when we say and think such things. Because the same God who was good to us here is the same God who was good to them there. And when a catastrophic event happens in your life, I want you to be assured and confident and ready to say, God is good. Even though the worst that we feared did actually happen. In Psalm 145, this is the last psalm of King David. The psalm is a beautiful psalm. It's actually an acrostic. The beginning of each verse begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Sort of like Psalm 119 has different sections beginning with the different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's a beautiful, poetic psalm. But here in this psalm, we see the heart of King David expressed confidently as one who he knows who his God is. And this psalm of praise is a beautiful expression of what was on the heart of a man who loved God, whose heart was after God. In verse 1, David says, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. This psalm contains many expressions of praise that David issues. He uses different words for praise, like extol and bless. The word extol means to praise enthusiastically. Yes, you could praise enthusiastically and still be a Baptist. Amen? This is what the word means. To praise enthusiastically. David's joy in knowing who his God is. I will extol you, my God and my King. David knows the authority of God in his life and over all creation. David knows the sovereignty of God in every matter of his existence. And David, in praise to God, says, every day, forever and ever, I will bless you. The word bless just means to speak well of in this context. David is going to speak well, to bless the name of the Lord forever and ever. Now just think about those, that time frame there. Every day, forever and ever. Can we praise God today when we're brushed with a category two? And can we praise God if we're hit head on with a category five? See, David ahead of time knew that it doesn't matter on the circumstances of what happens on how he praises God. He knows that God is worthy no matter what. That this praise that he offers up to God, this enthusiastic blessing to shout out the fame of God's name, which is his reputation, forever and ever. And you think of David's life and you know the hardships that David went through as a fugitive on the run, his family turning against him, his kids turning out horrendous. And yet David says, I'm going to enthusiastically praise your name today and tomorrow and God forever, because you are worthy. You're worthy. God's reputation goes before him. And this is what the rest of the psalm is about. In verse 2, David says, great is the Lord. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. First, he says, God is great. Then he says, greatly to be praised. He just doesn't deserve praise. He deserves great praise. Great praise. And this praise doesn't change based on what happens in our lives. Right? His greatness, David says, you cannot even fathom it. He uses this word unsearchable. A lot of people talk about how the internet has no end. You know, it just goes on forever and ever. There's like thousands of new web pages every second. You can never reach the end of the internet. Well, I'm going to submit to you today that it is more possible to reach the end of the internet than it is to greatly praise God too much. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. It's unfathomable how great and powerful and majestic and holy and righteous our God is. And I'm going to do this every day, God. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make known how wonderful your name actually is. The capacity of our human minds to fully describe or comprehend God is way beyond us. Is way beyond us. Matter of fact, it's beyond the realm of time. We can never give God his proper due, ever. We can never reach the day where we say we've given God enough of his glory that he's owed. We've ascribed enough worth to God. We can never do that. It's unsearchable. In verse 4, David says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. This is so important because this praise, David says, must not die with our generation. We must tell the next generation how good our God has been so that they will be ready to tell their next generation. We must do this. We must declare God's great acts. This is what has given David such endurance through his worst days. Days where his daughter was raped by his own son. days where he was, a mutiny arose against David and the kingdom divided in two. Days where he's on the run from his best friend's father, who throws a spear to the wall to stick him and kill him. These are the days that gets David through, because David dwells on the greatness of God. Generation to generation, parents, we have a responsibility to our children. Grandparents, you have a responsibility to your grandchildren. We must keep this praise going. And God has instituted ways for them to do this. The Passover was given just for this reason. Every year you're going to come and you're going to remember that I saved you from Egypt. And when your little son asks you questions, you're going to tell him exactly what God has done. This is the purpose of these things, is so we could tell our children, that our children can see us go through our worst days and our best days. And may they see a rock bed confidence in that we think God is great and greatly to be praised. Verse 5, he says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. See, this word meditate is so important because we forget. We forget how great God is and how great he is to be praised. We forget we're supposed to praise him every day. And yet David says, I need to make this a discipline in my life of meditation, of intense thought, of intense dwelling in my heart, of preaching to myself. The glorious splendor of your majesty, those words are just heavy. Glorious splendor of your majesty. Three just heavy, heavy words. Words that if you put your heart and mind to, you'll never be the same. The glorious splendor of God's majesty and on your wondrous works. What gets David through these bad days? He knows who God is, and he knows what God has done. Two things. Every day, what leads David to a praise every day? What leads him to bless the name of the Lord? Every day he meditates how great God is and what God has done. When we lose sight of who God is and what he has done, we will have nothing in which to rest when those catastrophic moments come. It will lead us to question God's goodness the next time we're hit by a devastating event, whether it be a terrorist attack, whether it be a natural disaster. If we don't meditate on how good God has been, it will lead us to question God's goodness. Well, God, you were there for me the last time. Where were you now? And see, this is the danger of saying God is good when good things happen, but failing to say that and believe it when they don't happen. Because God is faithful. He never changes. He is constant. He is faithful to his name. And circumstances do never change that. They never change that for a moment. Are we meditating daily on God and his works? That's God's resume. What has God done for you? What has God shown himself faithful to you? When we fail to think God is not good in a devastating moment of our lives, we question his character. And we pose ourselves in a position to actually think that we deserved better. For you to say God is not good is to think that you have deserved better. Let me remind all of us what we all deserve. The wrath of God. God's hot wrath because we are rebellious sinners. Anything good that happens to you is grace. You don't deserve anything. I don't deserve anything. And for you to question God's goodness is to say that you are above His grace. May never be. Verse 6, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. I believe this is referring to the generations that David referenced two verses ago. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame. Look how good David thinks God is. Of your abundant goodness. God is just not good. He is abundantly good. God overflows with goodness. And shall sing aloud of your righteousness, O God. You are so much better to us than we ever dared, thought we deserve. Who is the Lord? What has He done? Shout His fame, His goodness. Verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. This is a common phrase in the Old Testament that Israel would sing of and declare that reminded of God's covenant faithfulness to His elect people. God is gracious. He gives us what we don't deserve. The next breath. The next meal. A home to live in. Friends and family. A relationship with Him. Jesus. The list can go on and actually never end. God is gracious. God is so gracious. And God is merciful. If grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, mercy is withholding what we do deserve. What we do deserve. And that's judgment and wrath. And He's not only abounding in goodness, David says He's abounding in what? Steadfast love. Love. This steadfast love, this word is the word again for covenant love. He overflows with a never giving up, never stopping, never ending kind of love for His people. This is who God is. Remember, David just said, meditate on who God is. He's just told us who God is. I love how David does this. He first tells you what to do, and then He gives you all the reasons for it. Meditate on who God is. Who is God, David? He's gracious and merciful and abounding in steadfast love through a category 1 or a category 5. God is the same. He is good. And look at verse 9. If you were to question whether God was good to those in Barbuda, in Marco Island, in Immokalee, in Lehigh Acres, the Lord is good to all. And His mercy is over all that He has made. Who is the Lord good to, David? All. Yes, He was good to other people than just those in Manatee County. He's good. He's good all over Southwest Florida, all up in the East Coast. He's good to all. He had mercy on everybody. He had mercy on everybody. He's good to those in Houston. He's good to those all over creation. He's good to those who still haven't received their power back. Anyone still without power? Mostly everybody, maybe everybody. I saw some funny comments on Facebook. Yeah. I'm God's favorite. I got power. I know Davy Windham. We all love Davy Windham. Davy, as of this morning, still didn't have power. A lot of people don't have power. I think the Mosiers just got power last night. We need to be thankful for those men and women who are all across the country have come to help us. God is good. God is good. There's some people who didn't even lose power. Now you're the people I'm mad at. We had a hole in our roof from a pine tree branch. Came down like a missile. God has been good to the Sardinas family. I don't know how much further we're going to get in Psalm 145, but I got a few more thoughts to share before we're done. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. Never question the goodness of God. May we be like Job, who this statement that Job makes in chapter 13, I'm honest, it blows me away. Job says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. I will defend my case before him. Of course, that's in reference to his friends who are giving Job accusations. Making accusations against Job. Job, what's it going to take for you to not praise God? Though he slay me. Think about that. Some of us struggle with praising God if our power goes out. And Job says, if he kills me, I still hope in him. Remember what Job tells his wife? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good times or bad? Though he slay me. Oh, what faith. What faith that is. May we think of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 16. After being beaten with rods, they imprisoned him. They inflicted many blows upon him. They ordered the jailer in chapter 16 of the book of Acts to keep them safely. They put them in the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. Here's Paul preaching Jesus. That's his crime. Serving God. And what happens to Paul? He's beaten, he's whipped, he's jailed. And sitting in his prison cell at midnight with Silas, his partner, Acts 16:25 says what? About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Though he slay me, though, yet I will praise him. Though I get beaten with rods and thrown in jail for doing nothing wrong, yet I will praise him. Why? Because God is good. God is good whether he saves me from persecution or if I'm being persecuted. God is still good. When your life is built on the foundation that God is good, your heart will know this truth. No matter what happens to you, No matter what you may have in abundance, or no matter what you may lack, because God is good, He is enough. Whether you have plenty or whether you have little, God is good. And therefore, He is enough. I think of my sister Lucia in Mexico, sells candy by the road, makes approximately $10 a month. The poorest person in the church there in Mexico that we love and support and visited. And when you see her, she has the biggest smile on her face. Is God only good to us because we've got 2-car garages and a roof over our heads and money in our banks and a retirement fund that we could live off of? And He's not good to Lucia? If you think that, then you don't understand what the goodness of God means. God has been good to Lucia, although she makes $10 a month, lives in Mexico, and lives in poverty. When we focus on our circumstances being good or not, we will question if God is good. Going through a bad time today. So then our heart deceives us into thinking, well, then God is not good. You need this other than God. You need this to happen other than the way God wants it to play out. I'm grateful that circumstances will never dictate the goodness of God. Ever. We don't have time to go through the rest of the psalm, but go home and read it. Come tomorrow to my house at 7 p.m. We're going to look at it deeper during our small group. Let me just point out a couple things. Verse 10, all your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Verse 13, the Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. Whatever God does is kind. Think about that the next time something happens to you. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, verse 17. And kind in all His works. And what does David conclude this psalm with? My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. Was God good to us last week? He certainly was. He certainly was. And God will be good to you if you're never healed from the infirmity you deal with. And God is good to you whether you lose your job. God will be good to you even if your friends become your enemies. And God will be good to us if the next storm comes and becomes what Charlie was supposed to be, Irma was supposed to be. God will still be good. Rest in that truth today, people. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, help us today. Encourage us in your truth. We are such a fickle people, God. May we never be guilty of translating circumstances to define your faithfulness to us. Your word says, you're gracious, you're merciful, you're slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. You are good, God. When Moses asked you, show me your glory, Lord, your response to him was, I will let all my goodness pass before you. Help us to trust, God. Help us to trust. Help us not to fear. Help us to know that you are enough. No matter what happens today or tomorrow or next week, help us, Father. We thank you for Jesus, who, although we completely and totally deserve the wrath of God for our sins and our rebellion against you, Christ became flesh. He lived the life we were supposed to live. He died the death we should have died. He was completely and 100% obedient to you and did what was required. He fulfilled the law in our place, and he issued the perfect satisfaction of payment for our sins, for the redemption of your people. May we trust in Christ. May we trust in your gospel. May you make our faith rock solid, built upon your word, as we're led by your Spirit, and as we look to proclaim the glories of Christ. Help us today and through the next storm. In Jesus' name, amen.